He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points, joined on this fine Sunday evening by nobody. Normally, this is where I would say that I'm joined by you guys and that you guys are going to be running the show because it is a Sunday episode and because we have a mailbag and all that stuff. But with media day tomorrow, I'm going to make an executive decision and preview that. And then if you guys have any questions over the course of the show, obviously, I will get to those questions at the tail end of it. Quick reminder, please do hit subscribe if you guys are new here to the channel. If you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find the show there. The last time that we did a show, I actually did it through the playback channel. It also streamed to YouTube. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties and it was live for 2 hours. So while we work out those kinks, I'm back here recording as I normally do. But all that said, the plan is to do more stuff on playback, especially on game nights. You know, stream at least a quarter here and there of every game, hopefully, that happens during the week. So that we can, you know, interact that way. I also want to use playback to allow you guys to sound off, right? Like, you know, post-game shows, basically like a call-in radio show to, you know, every so often try those out and mix those in to the regiment over the course of the season. So, playback.tv/LakersLounge is where you can find the show there. And you're going to want to subscribe there because we're going to do some fun stuff with playback this season. All that said, you know, let's go ahead and dive into a media day preview. We have made it. After this, the Lakers are back in training camp. We are less than a week away or so from the Lakers' first preseason game that we'll be able to watch together. So, let's go ahead and dive on into the things that I am looking for heading into media day. And then the plan tomorrow, obviously, is to react to media day. And then I think I'm going to talk to Harrison and ask if he wants to record after media day tomorrow. And then on Tuesday, we will probably do the mailbag then that we would normally do now, alliteration or lack thereof, notwithstanding. But yeah. Busy show to get to today. A lot that, like, it's not that there's anything actually riding on tomorrow, but there is a lot to look for. So let's go ahead and, you know, dive on in. First and foremost, the number one thing that I will be paying very close attention to is LeBron's various media availabilities. He always does a separate sit down with Spectrum Sportsnet. He always makes himself very available for, you know, media day festivities and stuff like that. By the way, apologies. I burnt the absolute crap out of my tongue on Saturday with a piece of hot pizza that, like, it was the weirdest. It was like hot grease. The sauce was like hot grease under there. So the lisp, I can like hear it and it's bothering me. So apologies if you guys can hear it too. But anyway, LeBron's media availabilities tomorrow are going to be like must watch type stuff. Because look, I am of the opinion and I have, and it's not just opinion, right? I've reported on this a ton over the course of the season. I have never thought LeBron was going anywhere. I have never thought that LeBron would go and demand a buyout or demand a trade or anything like that. He's a lot more passive aggressive than that. He is not like, you know, he's not going to go to the front office. He's not going to stomp in there and say how this and that and this and that need to be changed. That's not really how he operates. But he does like to have it known when he wants things known. And, you know, obviously, most notably over the summer when LeBron opted in to the final year of his current contract, Rich Paul and Clutch Sports released a statement to ESPN. Nobody does that. Normally it's like, yeah, we opted in and we're all moving along. But no, like when LeBron opted in, he wanted to say his piece, or he wanted Clutch to say his piece on his behalf, and it made news that way and made some waves that way. And you know, that kind of kicked off an entire summer of speculation about LeBron. And I've talked a lot about the industry of LeBron speculation. And while I have always been of the opinion that LeBron was going to start the season with the Lakers, you know, we'd be remiss not to address some of that stuff, or at least consider some of that stuff as we head into media day tomorrow. So I'm really curious to see how LeBron handles it when, not if, but when reporters ask him about the summer that was. Is he going to play it off and say like, oh, you guys just read into way too much stuff? And you know, it's, you know, the whole entire summer of speculation that was on you guys. You guys chose to do that. I just said my piece. Or does he try to add some context to it? Does he actually say like, yeah, I mean, you know, we had heard that the Lakers were getting ready to maintain max flexibility heading into next summer, and we were concerned that those efforts would get in the way of maximizing this opportunity that we have with myself and with Luka. Maybe that's the tact that LeBron opts to take. He again is not active aggressive normally. He's normally of the passive aggressive approach and tact. But even if he does the passive aggressive thing and he says, I don't even know what you guys are talking about, and he tries to pretend as if like, you know, it's, it, you know, nothing happened or whatever, I'm sure there are going to be some reporters who kind of call him out on that stuff. So and by the way, like, you know, one thing that does sometimes happen is Clutch will make it known what kind of question that certain reporters should ask to get a certain response. And it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. If that's the route that LeBron chooses to take. But almost no matter what LeBron says tomorrow, it is going to be worth examining very closely. And it is going to be worth, you know, talking about here on this channel and amongst ourselves in this community and all of those things. Because end of the day, it's like I've been saying for the last couple of months, basically. The Lakers need LeBron. LeBron needs the Lakers. And both of these entities, these giant brands, they both are best suited maximizing the last few years or couple years, or maybe even only year of this relationship, this working relationship. And, you know, I think from both parties' perspective, there are reasons to be frustrated. From the Lakers' perspective, right? LeBron has never really shied away from making it known maybe which players he would prefer to play with. And you know, LeBron and the James family. Oh, it's so weird. Shams Charania just now reporting free agents Gary Payton II and DeAnthony Melton have committed to signing deals to return to the Golden State Warriors. Horford was another agreement earlier today. I mean, that agreement was done months ago. All of these agreements were done months ago. And yet we still don't have any clarity on the Kuminga situation. So I guess you got to get the tweets off and you got to get the graphics off, but yeah, I don't know. I keep coming back to with the Golden State Warriors. Quick side note, quick tangent here. That is a tiny team. That is a really small team. Like, they are, you know, so you got Steph Curry, you got Seth Curry, you have Melton, you have Gary Payton the second, you like that right there. So Steph, Seth, Melton, GP2, that's four. Oh, Pods, that's five guards, like 6'4" and under. That all outside of Seth, I don't think Seth will play very much, but four of those five guards all deserve significant minutes, like should be playing long minutes. And then you have Kuminga, Jimmy, as your wings. You have, you know, no more Looney. They signed Horford. You have Draymond. You have that other dude whose name I always forget, the big stiff white guy who can shoot. Like, their roster just doesn't make very much sense to me. So yeah, I don't really get it. A lot of people are kind of like, and look, Steph is good enough that like, he's good enough. Quentin Post. Thank you, Rosemary. Steph is good enough to where you always have to take the Warriors seriously, but that roster is too small. Like, it might be fine for the regular season, but come playoff time, that's a first round exit. Like, that team sucks. Like, it just doesn't make enough sense to me. Eventually they're going to have to move one or two of those guards for a wing or a big, and we'll see if they're able to do it. But I don't think that front office is very good, and their ownership situation. You have Joe Lacob, who's very meddling, and you have Kirk Lacob, who is like, you know, Jim Buss 2.0. So yeah, we'll just find out who his Chaz is, I guess. But anyway, back to the LeBron thing. Whatever he says tomorrow, I think is going to be worth paying attention to very closely, parsing and discussing amongst ourselves. And then we'll see, like, when, you know, those quotes get put into practice, to what extent he is fully bought into this team. I am of the opinion that we could see a version of Kobe circa, was it 07, 08 or 08, 09, where, you know, Kobe was kind of frustrated with the team, very frustrated with the team, right? Demanded a trade, said he would play on Pluto, angry because they wouldn't trade Bynum for Jason Kidd. He was booed the first night of the season. And then eventually he kind of like looked around and he was like, damn, this team is actually pretty good. How about that? Bynum took a really big step forward early in that season. And eventually, like, Kobe kind of came around to the idea of sticking it out with the Lakers and seeing what they were building and stuff like that. And it's a good thing he did, both for him and the Lakers, because, he wound up winning a couple more championships with the Lakers. The Lakers obviously benefited quite a bit from having Kobe in their organization. And I'm not going to go, like, LeBron isn't on Stephen A. Smith's show saying that he'll play on Pluto, but I do think there was some frustration, and I think there's some kind of built up frustration on LeBron's behalf or on LeBron's side of things, because the Lakers were kind of running out the clock on him and AD until Luka got there. And then Luka gets there and all of a sudden LeBron is second fiddle. And that's something that it's going to take some getting used to as well. So the LeBron aspect of this is going to be worth noting. It's going to be worth paying attention to. So just fair warning, we're going to be having a LeBron conversation on tomorrow's show. The next thing that I'm going to be really interested to hear is from LeBron and from Luka on, you know, the communication that they had over the course of the summer and the communication that they have had with the team so far and the communication that needs to take place from here on out on the leadership structure within the locker room, right? The obviously you have, you know, with LeBron, he's going to be the loudest voice in basically every room he's going to be in, but clearly Luka is the more important player to the organization right now. And, you know, within the locker room, the most important player to an organization, that player usually carries a certain amount of weight in the locker room and amongst the guys that way. And there's normally kind of a pecking order as far as like how those relationships are going to go. And yet like with the Lakers, it's kind of unique because like, it's pretty rare that you have a second best player with a voice as loud as LeBron's. And like, you know, if we're keeping it a buck, LeBron had a better season than Luka last year from start to finish. And that's not to say that I'm anticipating LeBron having a better season than Luka right now. I only say that to mean that LeBron's still pretty damn good at basketball and his voice should carry a certain amount of weight in that locker room. But I'm really curious to see if we get any kind of, I don't know if we'll go so like we'll get clarity on that relationship or on that dynamic within the locker room, but we should probably get some questions asked about it tomorrow. We should probably get, you know, hey, have you guys talked about this? Have you guys talked about the playoffs from last year? What type of work have you guys done this offseason on the way that you guys interact together on a basketball court from a basketball and a human perspective? Like, there's a lot that, you know, is obviously riding on LeBron and Luka figuring it out this year to a greater extent that they than they figured it out last year. What's that going to look like? Have they talked? I know that they have talked, and it'll be interesting to see if we get, you know, confirmation of that tomorrow. But yeah, end of the day, you know, you have a situation here where you basically have, if not two alphas, you know, it's like it's you know, a younger alpha with an older alpha who is still useful to the pack, you know, and by useful, I mean like, you know, very, very useful, you know, and that dynamic is going to be really, it's unique. You know, Pete has made the point on his show, and then we kind of talked about it again briefly with the latest Great Western Forum pod. But the Lakers are pretty unique in that, like, at any given moment, they'll have one elite engine to the offense or of the offense on the court 48 minutes of a game. And then, you know, in some other moments you'll have multiple engines, and, you know, there aren't very many cars with multiple engines in them. And what's that car going to run like? So I'm really curious to see like what the leadership structure might look like this upcoming season and whether LeBron and Luka and the team have discussed or started figuring out kind of how that is going to go. I think the best path forward here is for Luka to kind of take that burden and that responsibility. And then it's on LeBron to kind of figure out where he falls into that structure. But that's a lot easier for me to say than it is for those guys and this team and this organization to execute. So tomorrow will be, you know, after we get some clarity or some context from LeBron on this summer that he's coming off of, the next thing that I'll be looking for is the LeBron-Luka dynamic and any kind of clarity or additional context that we might get on what that might look like for this season or, you know, obviously moving forward. The next thing I'm going to be looking for is more kind of a broader spectrum type of subject here, which is what's the culture going to be? What's this team's identity? Are you going to get after it defensively and get out in transition? Are you going to be a machine in the half court? Are you going to be a your turn, my turn team? Are you going to be, you know, this, or are you going to be that? Like, those are all things that I think will go a long way in, you know, kind of helping us set our expectations. If essentially they haven't thought about it at all, or if they haven't, you know, like one of the things that JJ Redick spoke about a lot, both coming off of last season and then during his media availability last week, was conditioning and the importance of conditioning and how that is something that the Lakers are really going to be focused on with him as head coach. I want to know, like, I want to hear from each guy how they feel about that culture of conditioning and what they have done to prepare for that level of conditioning. You know, that's one of those things that, like, you can tell really quickly how somebody feels about conditioning, and nobody likes conditioning, right? Like, nobody loves the idea of going out there and running wind sprints until you're getting ready to throw up for the sake of not feeling like you're going to throw up when it comes time to play games. But yeah, like, I'm looking at this team and I'm looking at the way that I think they'll probably need to play. And I think transition basketball is going to have to be a big, you know, a heavy ingredient for this team's success this year. And that requires conditioning on the defensive side of things, that, you know, to be able to get the stops that are necessary to get out in transition. And then obviously after you do all of that work to secure a rebound or to turn the other team over, then you have to take the next step and go out there and push the ball in transition and execute in transition, and then get ready to do it all over again in the following possession. So I'm really curious, you know, with how important, you know, conditioning appears to be to JJ Redick, and how important conditioning, you know, was always to the Lakers. Basically, I think we are getting to a point here, not saying he's as good a coach, but I do think that we're getting to a point here where JJ Redick's kind of approach to this stuff feels kind of Pat Riley-ish. And so, like, you know, with Pat, those guys all look back on practices and training camp and how hard they had to work to be able to execute, you know, defensively well enough to be able to get out and run so that they could be the Showtime Lakers. Without conditioning, without working as hard as those guys did in the offseason and then over the course of the season, there is no transition game to the Showtime Lakers. And if there is no transition game, then they then those guys are not the Showtime Lakers. And look, like, I already see you guys getting angry at me comparing JJ to Pat Riley. I'm not saying they are of the same caliber of coach. I am not saying they are of the same caliber of leader. All I am saying is that I think JJ's approach seems pretty similar to the type of culture that Pat Riley tried to build. And, you know, that is a very old school approach. So how is this team going to handle that old school approach? That is also something that I think we might be able to get a grasp of tomorrow during media day. So culture, identity, belief in those things, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how the guys feel about what JJ is trying to implement culturally with this team. I think we'll be able to figure that out tomorrow. The next thing that I am curious to hear about tomorrow is, look, you have you go down this the list: DeAndre Ayton, Marcus Smart, Austin Reeves. Even though he technically has a contract that extends beyond this upcoming season, he will have a player option that he almost certainly is not picking up. So I'm considering him one of the expiring contracts. LeBron, Gabe, Maxey, you know, the number of guys across this roster. And I know I forgot some, because there's only basically like Jared Vanderbilt. and you know, as far as like guys who have fully guaranteed contracts next year, no options, nothing like that. Like the Lakers have a lot of guys who are going to be playing for their careers this upcoming season. And that is something that I hope all of those guys get asked about, so that we can kind of accumulate what the team feels about that situation. And like, it's one of those things. It's a balance, I think, but I do think teams like the Lakers, where there are so many guys on prove it deals, those teams are usually just better off getting that out in the open, understanding that, you know, this is the reality of these situations, and this situation being an accumulation of all of those situations. Like, I'm like, all right. So I was just talking about this with my cousins last night. And my Mexican side of the family, like, we just hash shit out. Something needs to be said, we say it, we fight, it gets ugly, and then we move on. But it doesn't linger, right? We hug it out, we say how much we love each other, and we move on. And that, whatever that thing was, that was just kind of that stench that was in the air, my Mexican side of the family, we just hash it out and we all move on. My white side of the family, my dad's side of the family, that side of the family tends to like not address those things and like not talk. And so like, if there's any kind of a problem, it will just sit there for years. Jen's family is very much like my white side of the family. Jen's family, primarily white. I don't think this is necessarily a brown white thing. I'm just speaking solely from experience here. But Jen's family also, like, if something needs to be said, it will go unsaid, and that subject will just fester. It will just sit there, and it will just, I'm of the opinion heading into this upcoming season that the Lakers are better off just acknowledging this thing for what it is. Everybody can still be professional. Everybody can gun for their next contract. But the best way that they are all going to get their next contract or their next opportunity is to win. Win basketball games. Because that's how guys get paid in 2025. Like that, like, hell, if this was 7 years or more ago and more guys were paid based off of individual numbers compared to team-wide impact type numbers, I would say the Lakers are in for a tough season, because there are going to be so many guys that are going to be gunning for so many shots and so many individual stats that it's just going to be too difficult to balance. But now in 2025, and you know, having existed in this iteration of the league where teams really value winning and guys buying into winning, like part of the reason that Jonathan Kuminga still isn't signed right now is because the Warriors know how he feels about fitting into a winning culture. His agent did a freaking whole ass media tour telling everybody how little Jonathan Kuminga appears to care about winning. And the Warriors are like, see, yeah, that's why you aren't signed, because you don't care about those things. And from the Lakers' perspective here, you know, and like all of those guys, Ayton, Smart, Reeves, LeBron, Kleba, Gabe, and so on and so forth, Rui, like all of these guys that are on, you know, their whose contracts end at the end of the season in one way or another, all of these guys, you know, if the Lakers basically come together and have a productive conversation acknowledging how guys tend to get paid in 2025 and how much that tends to have to do with winning, those are conversations that can, like, once it's out there, once everybody acknowledges it, maybe it gets, you know, maybe it gets brought up. It will be something that comes up again over the course of 82 games. But so long as that communication is open and honest and productive, I do think that is something that the Lakers can build off of together, rather than if this was something that was taking place, you know, 7-8 years ago. I do think there's a higher chance that would just kind of fester and guys would just kind of shoot for their own, and the Lakers would be kind of stuck in a situation that lacks the kind of culture that they're going to need to win. So yeah, that team-wide culture, that level of communication, how everybody is going to handle or what the expectation is from everybody as they handle their contracts being up at the end of the season. Also, trade rumors are going to be a thing because of the number of contracts that are expiring.
I was just looking up at the Juju Watkins will be sidelined for the 25-26 season. Man, what a bummer.
That is something that I will be kind of paying close attention to in those moments that subject comes up of like, yeah, you know, look, we're all professionals. We understand that this is a business, and we have all kind of collectively agreed that the best way for us all to get paid, whether it's with the Lakers or some other team, is to be professional about it and move forward that way. Because you look at somebody who isn't being professional about it, in both like Joe Lacob and Jonathan Kuminga, neither of those guys are being very professional or, you know, handling that situation very well. And both of those guys are going to wind up paying for it in one way or another. So yeah, the subject of culture and identity and all that stuff is going to be something, especially as it pertains to the number of expiring contracts on this roster. Pay close attention to that. All right, let's go ahead and see what we got here as far as questions from the audience. Rosemary Tulip, thoughts on Austin Reeves' all-star chances? I don't see it. There are just too many really, really, really good guards in the West who will have more opportunities on the ball than Austin will this year. Yeah, I just, you know, Luka's going to have the ball a ton. LeBron's going to have the ball a ton. Austin also is going to have the ball quite a bit, but you're comparing like Austin's opportunity on the ball to, you know, Ja Morant's opportunity on the ball and Steph's opportunity on the ball. And that right there, like if you're just talking about guards, right? Austin is competing with Luka, who is competing with Ja, who is competing with Steph, who is competing with, you know, the guy, you know, Zach LaVine in Sacramento, who's going to have a ton of time on the ball. I don't really see it. Maybe the fan vote is correct. Like, I think Austin's best chance at making the All-Star team is for the Lakers to be really good and for Lakers fans to reward all of the Lakers players
with all-star support, and Austin would be one of the guys who get a lot of that support. So, look, it might happen. You know, the beginning part of the Lakers season is pretty light in terms of strength of schedule. I think the Lakers are going to be pretty good this season, and I think that'll really help. Look, Austin is a very popular Laker, so he's going to get a pretty good chunk of the fan vote as well. So I think that's probably his likeliest path to maybe getting an all-star bid. But end of the day, like there are better players who will have more opportunity on the ball, and that is just really difficult to overcome for a role player. But we'll see what that looks like. Let's see. John Paul asking, what time is media day starting? It's usually in the afternoon. I'll just look at Lakers media day 2025 schedule. So I don't believe there is a specific time yet. Let's see. I'm not seeing a specific time. Oh, here we go. 2025 media day schedules, times, locations, and how to watch for all 30 teams. So Monday, September 29th, that is tomorrow. The Lakers are at 2 p.m. Eastern. So that would be 11 a.m. Pacific time. 1 my time. And they usually run for a good little while. So, and then like Spectrum will keep replaying the media day stuff over the course of the day, both in terms of you know, the other interviews from in scrums and stuff like that, but also the Spectrum exclusive interviews that they get. They'll also play those over the course of the day. So yeah, a lot of content coming your way tomorrow. All right. I think that is going to do it. This is a little shorter show for this one, just because this is just a media day preview. Tomorrow I anticipate it being quite a bit longer. And then we have Tuesday. Like I said, we'll do the mailbag, and I'm sure you guys will have plenty of questions then. So rest up, everybody, because from here on out, we are in the season. We've made it, like we've gotten all the way through to late September. Preseason games right around the corner, regular season games right around the corner. We have made it. So until the next time you guys hear from me, I am Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that comment button, all of the good stuff, and I will talk to you